it's such a privilege for me and Tanya to be back in Dalton. We love this city. We love your church. Amen. We love the people here. We love Cooper family. They are such a blessing to us all these 10 years that we know them. And Craig came to Bulgaria just a few months ago for our 20th anniversary. Tanya and I, we celebrate 20 years of marriage, 20 years of ministry, and 20 years of church. So we celebrate 3-in-1. We are happy to have a blessed marriage. We have 2 kids. Our son is 19. He just graduated high school this summer, and he will going to a Bible school next 2 years in Sydney, Australia. So the Lord really opened door for him. Yes. He's going there. Our daughter, she is 15, and she studying now in a Spanish school, so she know English. She just start Spanish, and she will learn French. So on the end of 19, she will know 3 different languages, which is great. She likes to speak different languages and to mix with the different cultures. And like I say, Tanya and I, we have a 20-year celebration. The Lord met us 20 years ago. That was immediately when I was born again. I was born again in 1989, the same year when the communism fell down. So I was raised up under the communism. None, any one of my family was a Christian. My grandma, my grandpa, they were communist members of the communist parties. My parents never teach me about the Lord. They never show me what is the Bible, how the Bible looks like. We never talk about faith or God in our home during when I was a student. In the year of 89, the Lord met me with one person from my city. He was a close friend that time to me. He passed away, by the way, because he became sick from leukemia, the blood cancer. But he is the one who witnessed me to the Lord and bring me to the Lord. He gave me a New Testament, very small book, New Testament, the Gideon's one. And he took me to a church, old church, with the elderly couple there. And that was the first time when I went to the church and I hear the word of God, and this touched my heart. So after a few days, I decided to read this New Testament, and I read the New Testament. For 3 months, I read the whole New Testament. Then I asked for a Bible. And I went to that pastor in that church and I asked him for a Bible. And he said, you need to pray about, because there is no legal Bibles that you can find in the stores anywhere. No. Not any public place that you can find the Bible. The Bible was that time was donated to Bulgaria, illegal. And people hid it in their homes, in their basements, in their places. So when he gave me a Bible, I prayed 6 months before I can have a Bible. He checked me very carefully if I am a right person or not, if I will be very honest with him. And when I get the Bible, that was the year of 1990, I start to read the Bible for 8 hours every day. Pray and read, because it's such a hunger deep in me to read the Word of God and to know more of God. And for 3 months, I read the whole Bible, and that moment I realized that the Lord is calling me for ministry, which is very strange. And I was not so deep in the Lord, not so big in the Lord, and I start to preach even before I to read the whole Bible. And our church that time start to grow. We start young church people move from the old type of skin church, and we start a new one with 8 young people, and we grow almost to 80 people. And even I didn't know the whole Bible, I was not worried, because none one of those people know more than me. I was the first one who know more of them. So I preached to them and explained them the Word of God. And then 91, we met with Tanya. She is a 4th generation Christian. She grow and rise under the Christian family. Her grandfather is one of the first Pentecostal preacher in Bulgaria. And he established few churches in North Bulgaria. And he was persecuted by the Communist Party, and he was put in 2 times in jail. And after the second time, he died from pneumonia in his chest. And he died, and they just left him to go home and die home. So he was a really hero for the Lord. And Tanya was raised in the Christian family. She doesn't know this world I came just from the world. The Lord saved me, so we have a good mix and make a good balance. And we enjoyed to ministry the Lord for the last 20 years. So from 1991, immediately we start ministry. And all these 20 years, we are full-time, both of us, in the ministry. 12 years for assistant pastors. And last 8 years, we are senior pastors as Messiah Christian Church in Stara Zagora. Stara Zagora is the 5th big city in Bulgaria. Almost 200,000 people live there. And 3 years ago, the Lord opened us a door to start TV ministry, which is unusual, known any other church doing that in Bulgaria. So we start to do TV ministry. The Lord opened door first in our local cable television, and then we start a few months later in the satellite all over Bulgaria. And every Sunday night, almost 200,000 people watch our broadcast in the whole nation. This is great. And we are really so thankful for what the Lord is doing. We have lots of battles over these 20 years. Everything that's happening in our life is happening by faith. And that's supposed to be. Because the Lord is moving in the life of His people by faith. How is my English? Okay? Can you get it? I'll tell you one joke. It's a true joke. I created that joke. A friend of me asked me a few years ago to describe him and explain him what kind of ministry we have in our churches. And I say we have a children ministry, we have a youth ministry, we have an outreach ministry, family ministry. And I came to the point to explain him that we have a ministry for the widows, because we have about 25 widows in our church. But in that very moment, I forget the word for widows. And I say, we have a 25 virgins in our church. And I was so serious, because in my mind I was thinking about widows. And we eating together dinner, and he just put us his knife and silvers, and he said, "You have what?" And I said, yeah, we have a 25 virgins in our church. And he said, "How you know?" And I was so confident deep in my spirit, because I know what I'm talking about. And I just look at him and say, "Well, I checked them all." And then he just looked at me and he said, "Are you talking about widows?" I became red and sweat. And that moment, I want to push that button to go out from the table or from the pulpit. And so in my heart, I was right, but in my mind, in my mouth, I was wrong. If I say something wrong today, it's only my mouth. It's not my it's not my spirit. This morning, I want to share a little bit from the Word of God. And I was thinking what to share with you. But last night during the worship, the leaders' meetings, we have a great time. I feel that I need to share this with you. How to overthrow the giants in our life. How we can destroy and displace them from our places and from our life. We just came from the conference in Baltimore, and the title of the conference was "Displace, Replace, Displace." Yes, displace, and it was great. And sometime we need to realize that there is a giant ahead of us, and they try to stop us. They try to put fear over us. And like the New Testament teach, that these giants are not flesh and blood, but they are spirits, and they are strongholds, and sometimes they are fears from the common background that try to destroy our faith. And this kind of enemy or giants today, there can be sicknesses or disease or trauma or financial problems or debt or fear, past, future, insecurity, etc., etc. And those things are used by the enemy to stop our faith and our growth in the Lord. I will use 1 Samuel 17. That's the story for Goliath and David. And everyone knows that story who is in the church, because this is the story that we first learn in the school, in the children's school, and also in the Sunday school. And I will not read the whole chapter, but this chapter 17 of 1 Samuel explains the battle between Goliath and David, and how Goliath was killed by David, and how David has a victory with his faith and his confidence. And I want to mention a few points so we can take it, those points in our life, and convert it to our situation today, so we can be a victorious Christians. Goliath in Hebrew means exile, and he wants to put in exile or banishment all people. Exile means from Hebrew that you are not free to do anything what you want to do. There is a chains upon you everywhere, and you are not a free person. And Goliath, it says in 1 Samuel 17, verse 16, that he screamed over the nation of Israel for 40 days. And he tried to fear the whole nation, and he actually did it. According to the Bible, Goliath was a very tall person. He was close almost to, I don't know in English, but he was almost 3 meters tall, maybe nine foot. And he was a very tall person. And the people was afraid from him because he was different. And he was not usually like the whole other people from the Israel, except Saul. Saul was the tallest one. That's why he was picked to be a king. And Goliath was very tall. And the first thing that we see here, don't be afraid from the problem. The problem is always try to scream or exaggerate how big is it. All of us, we are faced with different problems in different situations. In work, in family, in a church, in usually casual day, we have different problems. And sometimes the enemy tries to explain to us, and he tries to shout and scream how big is the problem. And that's what Goliath do for 40 days. So number 40 in the Bible means that is the overing of some period and starting the new period. When we see 40 in the Bible, that means something is going to die and something new will going to happen. For example, 40 years Moses was in the wilderness. 40 years he was in Egypt. 40 years he was in the wilderness. And 40 years he took the nation of Israel back to the promised land. So he has a three major period for 40 years. For 400 years the nation of Israel was in captivity in Egypt. 10 by 40. 40 days Elijah, he was in fasting and prayer, and he ran to the Mount of Carmel. For 40 days Jesus fasting before to have his own ministry. So 40 is very significant number in the Bible. And for 40 days every morning Goliath jumped on the front, and he tried to put fear over the whole nation of Israel. For me, like a person and like a minister, I realize that the biggest enemy for my ministry is fear. It's the fear pursues you everywhere. When you have fear, you are free to take decision. Fear paralyzes your mind and action. Fear takes away your peace and rest. Fear destroys also your energy. Fear pursues everywhere and attack your dream and your sleep. So I realized that the biggest enemy for me in the ministry is fear. Even if I need to do a next step, I always fighting with some kind of fear. What will people think? What will happen? Is that the true area? Is that the secure area? What will going to happen with our finances? For example, we need to step out now for a new property, for a new building. And it's always fear came first. Are you going to do it? Is it going to happen? What will happen if you fail? So all that kind of problems try to scream upon us, and they try to put fear in our mind. There is a man, he's American, he wrote the book, you maybe know the name, his name was Napoleon Hill. Yeah, he wrote the books, many books about finances and also how you can be progressive and how you can be a victorious person. One of his books, he mentioned seven type of fear that brings stress to the people and destroy their faith. Number one, and he put them by name and by order, in the first place he put fear from poverty. People are afraid to become poor. That's the number one fear right now in the world. To not lose what you have. Some billionaires are afraid if they become millionaires, because the fear destroyed their mind. It's a poverty. You can have that fear inside of you. If you have only $5 in your pocket, you can still have that fear. If you have a $5 billion in the bank, you can still have that fear, because it's attack your mind. Number two, he say in his book, it's fear from criticism. People are afraid to be criticized. Nobody wants to be criticized. Well, we know that there is a good critics, and critics that can help and that can build. But nobody wants to hear that he fell or he is a criticized. For example, the politics, they don't like to hear that people don't like them. Amen. They don't like to hear that. I was running 2 months ago in our city for city councilor, for mayor councilors. And I was involved for 30 days in the election to be one of those 51 city mayor councilors for our town. I was not elected because I expected almost 1,200 people to vote for me, but only 700 vote for me. But during that campaign, few people just say, "Oh, he is a pastor. He don't know to be there. He need to stay in the pulpit." Other people criticize me, and they say, "Oh, he'll be associated with the politics," and all that kind of types that I heard. They touch my soul, my spirit. So I thinking, why they do that? And always people are afraid to be criticized from others. Number three is fear from sickness. People are afraid to be sick, especially if you have a generation sickness in your generations. For example, if your grandpa or grandma is sick from diabetes, or your mom or your father is sick from the same sickness, you're afraid those kind of sickness to not come upon you. So we need to realize that the fear is a big enemy. Number four, fear from losing love. People are afraid to lose their love. And because of that, they do so many mistakes. The fifth one, Napoleon Hill said that fear from old age. People are afraid to become old, because everyone will be old one day. That's the process of life. But people are afraid. What will gonna happen? I have a friend, he is almost in his late 70s, and he just say, "Lubo, you know, I am feel so fresh in my spirit, but my body is disappear. I just try to walk like before, doesn't work. I just try to act like before, doesn't work, because my body is disappear. Inside, I feel young, because my soul never die, never be tired, but outside, I feel the punishment of my body." Number six, fear from lost freedom. People are afraid to lose their freedom. I'm ministering for the last 20 years, not 20, but 18 years in the prison. From 1993, we start prison ministry in Bulgaria. And most of the people that came to the prison, they make very small mistakes. Sometimes those fear came to me, and when I crossed the big doors of the prison, sometimes that fear came to me and say, if you make a mistake, you'll be one day not like a preacher, but you'll be like a prisoner. Because it's a big bandage of fear over that place. Sometimes I was afraid, because I'm going with my Bible and my back, I was afraid sometime between the prisoners they can exchange some things and put it in your back with purpose. So I'm very careful where I leave my back, what I do, how I talk with people. And I fight with those kind of spirit, especially in that place, to not lose my freedom. So freedom is something wonderful. Yes. Amen. And the last one is fear from death. People are afraid from death. But you see, Napoleon Hill put the fear of death on the last point, not in the beginning. In the beginning, he say it's fear from poverty. And people are afraid to become poor. So the first thing we need to realize, don't be afraid from the problem. Sometimes the problem looks big, but it's not. Goliath, he was look like he's very big, but he just tried to put fear over the people. 2. David saw the potential reward. You must see the potential reward in your situation. He was motivated by this. Everyone battle brings benefits and rewards. 1 Samuel 17:25, King say to those who will win Goliath, he say, for those who will kill Goliath, the king promised to enrich him with great riches. The second thing, king's promised to give him his daughter to be his wife. And the third thing, he say, the king promised to give his father's house exemptions from all the taxes in Israel. That was a good motive to fight. Especially for David. When he went to the battlefield, we know the story how he went to the battlefield. He went to see his brothers. And when he saw Goliath was there, and nobody was able to fight with him, then the people start to talk between themselves, and they say to David, you know what the king promised? He promised that if somebody kill Goliath, he will give him a great riches, he'll make him a rich, he'll give his daughter to be his wife, and also he'll make exemption for all his father's house from taxes of Israel. And David was motivated by this. We need to realize that in the whole books of the Bible, especially in the New Testament, Jesus always motivate his people. When we read the book of Revelation, the 7 churches letters, he said, to those who win, I will give this. To those who win, I will give that. Because it's so important for God to motivate us so we cannot stop and continue going and take the land, because it's promises in the Bible. There is a reward for every one battle. A big reward for everyone. And we need to realize that motivation is something big. I realize for myself, if I'm motivated enough for something, I just step it. If I'm not, I'm waiting before the Lord to be motivated enough from the Word of God, or from the Spirit of God, or from the prophecy, whatever, just to be motivated. So if I have a right motivation inside in me, then I know 50% of the battle is taken. Abraham Lincoln, one of your president, we just visited Washington, D.C. last week for one day, and we went to the Lincoln Memorial. Abraham Lincoln make a statement, 50% of the battle is already gone when you take decision. So when you take decision, 50% of your battle is almost done. And David just take decision. He was motivated by those points. He say, well, I will be rich. Oh, I will have a king's daughter for my wife. I will be one of the king's house. And my father's house will be out free from debt and no taxes anymore. The third thing, David not listen the critics or the opposition. It's so important for us today to not listen to the opposition. We need to know that there is an enemy and there is a problems, but we need to know from who, from which side we are, who is behind us. That's why the Bible teaches us, if God is with us, who can be against us? Amen. Yeah. Amen? Amen. So David has a three different strong opposition in his life. The first one, David's brothers. They influence him emotionally. Who are you? Where is your little sheep? What you're doing here? You're not able to kill Goliath. You even don't know how to fight. Why you came? Oh, we know you are a pride God, man. You came to see the battle. No, he didn't come to see the battle. His father sent him. And when your father sends you somewhere, he will give you reward. Amen?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah.
And when his father was sent him, his father was also equipped him. And he said, go see your brother, see the king, bring gifts, see how is the battle doing. And also, we learn from the Bible that David was a good steward. He take care for his sheep. He put somebody to take care about this little flock. And when he went to the battle, his brothers tried to influence him emotionally. Many people in my church, sometime they try to influence me emotionally with opposition. Like Jesus, his own people, they try to influence him emotionally. In Nazareth, when he went to his own town, they say, "We know you, who you are. You're a son of Joseph, the carpenter. Your brothers are between us. What's the difference between the last 40 days? You've been somewhere in the Judea wilderness, but we know who you are." And the only one confident that gives Jesus strength for that moment was the Holy Spirit, because Holy Spirit was upon him. And he just jumped and opened the book of Isaiah. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me." That makes a big difference. And David, when he went there, he was sent by his father, he was anointed, and his brothers cannot have influence over him. The second opposition is from Saul's, the authority. He tried to influence him with the position and power. He said, "You are not equipped enough." He said, "You're too young. You're not able to lead worship. You're just a kid. You're not able to preach. Oh, you didn't graduate in the Bible school. You're not able to take decisions. You need to go over the life and then you can take decisions." So Saul, he represents the old type, stereotype of people. And he tried to influence over David. And he said, "You don't have even armor. How you can kill Goliath? You're just a kid. You're not prepared enough. Did you hear these words before in your life?" Many times I started to preach when I was 20. I lead the church, one of growing church in Bulgaria. I lead it in 21. And some people told me, I remember some elderly couples, they came to me and they say, "Your ministry will be destroyed in a few months." They don't like to help. They like to help you to fail. And when you listen to that kind of opposition, fear came to you. The third one was Goliath's. He tried to influence him with ability and capacity. Because Goliath, when he saw David, he ignored him. He just say, "You are a duck. I will kill you right now. I even don't need to fight with you." And he tried to intimidate over David because his capacity is different. His abilities are, he was much more equipped for that battle. And the good thing is that David was not afraid from Goliath. That was the great thing, because he has a confidence inside of him, who is he. And when you have a confidence, who are you in the Lord, you will not be intimidated by others. Amen? Number four, David using his experience from the background and the other battles. It's always help. That's why the Bible teaches us, remember the mercies of the Lord every day that He is doing to you. I just interpret the verse from the Psalm. To remember the goodness of God, to remember His mercy, to remember what the Lord has made it for you in past years. When David went to the battlefield and Saul say, "You are not able to fight with Goliath," he was so confident and he say, "Well, I was a shepherd boy and I was in charge for the flock of my father, and sometime lion came to take the lamb and bear came to take the bear, to take the lamb from the flock, and I protect my flock. I kill the lion and the bear, and I will kill this uncircumcised Philistine right now." He was so confident because he has an experience in his life. With all the battles that we're going through, God teach us how we can have experience.
Yes, yes.
It can be just a small battle, but the Lord teach us.
Hallelujah.
Romans 12 says in verse 2, to know what was the will of God by experiences. Yonggi Cho, the pastor of one of the biggest church in the world today, actually the biggest one in the world today, in one of his books he said that in the beginning his faith was very small. He said, "The only faith that I have in the beginning was to pray for people who has headache. That's the only faith." And then he say, by seeing that experience that the Lord moving and He heal people who has a headache, different pain in their heads, in their bodies, my faith start to grow. He say, now I have a faith to pray for any disease, for different cancers, and even I pray for people who are dead and God resurrecting from the dead. Because the faith is always progressive. And when you have experience from the small battles, God is preparing you for the big battle.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's very important. So we need to know that the Lord, if He using us in the past, He will continue use us in the future.
Amen.
Because He wanna glorify through us. Number five, David spoke faith with boldness. We need to learn how to spoke faith in our life. 2 Corinthians 4:13 say, "And since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe it and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." So we need to spoke the word of God. We need to say with faith, this will gonna happen. Because when you say something which is written, you proclaim what God is already proclaimed. And you agree. When your spirit is agree with God's spirit, then the things happen.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Yes.
So David, he was so confident. And he say, "Well, this uncircumcised Philistine, I will kill him right now, today. And everyone will see that there is a God in Israel." Because his faith was growing and his faith was progressive. If you remember the story with the lady from the Gospels, from Mark chapter 5, the lady with the blood disease, for 12 years she has a problem with her blood, and she tried so many different things. She went to everyone doctor, she went to everyone medicine. She lost all of his money and all of her money and all of her inheritance. She spent everything that she has, and she's feel not better. And then the Bible teaches us that she heard about Jesus. Then she spoke to herself, "If I touch him, I'll be delivered, I'll be healed." And then the first thing she heard. So faith is always work when we hear about the Lord, when we receive the word of God. That's how Romans teach us in 10:17, faith is coming by hearing, and hearing is by the word of Christ.
Wow.
Word of God. That's how faith works. So she heard about Jesus and she said, well, all my money, all these doctors are not able to help me, but he can help me. Her faith started to grow. Then she said, I need only to touch his cloth. That's enough. She started to speak to herself. So always when you hear the word of God, start to proclaim, start to speak, start to dream, think about the word of God. And then the third thing, how faith works, take an act. She went to him. We know that he was surrounded from so many disciples and so many people, but she touched the bottom of his clothes. And healing came. And Jesus was turned back and said, who touched me? And the disciples, they say, well, Lord, you see how many people is around, so everyone touch you. And he said, no, one body. Somebody touch me with purpose. Somebody touch me with faith. Somebody touch me to receive his miracle. And when he proclaimed that, she was turned and she went to him and she tell him the whole story. And the answer of Jesus was, your faith has made you heal. Amen? Because when you walk with faith, you always walk in the God size. And that's why David, he walked with faith. Hebrews 11:6 say that without faith is not possible to please God. Without faith is not possible. So David was so confident that he can kill Goliath. It doesn't matter that he's so big, because he put his trust in God. God already gave him a victory with the bear and the lion. And now he will give him a victory with Goliath. Number 6. David is not trying to be somebody else. Be yourself and learn how to grow. Saul gave him his armor. And when David put his armor, he was not feel comfortable. He was just turning around. The whole armor of God was bigger for him. Because Saul was tall with one head more than every other person in Israel. And the armor was so big for him. Sometimes we try to take the battle with the armor of somebody else. It doesn't work. You need to go through your own battle. Of course, you can ask other people to pray for you. You can ask for support. That's normal. But you need to go through your own battle. You need to kill your own Goliath. You need to learn how to do it. It can be in the finances problem or in a sickness or a trauma or any kind of problem. It's your battle. Amen?
Yes, sir. Amen.
In the book of Acts, chapter 19, there is a story for 7 sons of Sceva. If you remember them. Sceva was a high priest. And he was an annoying person in Ephesus. And Paul makes so many wonders in that city. And he preached Jesus Christ so powerfully. And those sons of Sceva, they decide to proclaim the name of Jesus who Paul preached. And one day, they went to the demonic person and they say, in the name of Jesus who Paul preached, be free. It doesn't work. Those demons came upon that person and they beat him a lot. So he was shamed and naked and he left the city. Because that guy or those guys of Sceva's sons, they don't have a personal experience with the Lord. They were not protected. They were not born again. They just preached Jesus who Paul preached. The demons say, we know Jesus who is and we know who is Paul, but who are you? And they were not protected, because this is not their personal battle. They try to use only the name of Jesus. That's all. And I know many people that confess the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Nothing happened in their life, because they never walk with faith, never walk with confidence and experience. They never go through their own battle. They just learn how the preachers preach. That's all. And David, when he heard that, he left the armor of Saul because it was so big for him. And he went to the river and he found 5 stones. The stones that David find there are, the Bible says that they are oval, in good condition. So those stones, the river, which represent the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, the river, make those stones with good condition. They became very oval. So when you put it, those stones in the sling, you can put it every one place where you want. You can exactly target the place when you put the stone to go. In the book of Judges says that there used to be 300 warriors that they can fight with those sling. Is that the right word, sling? Yes. They can fight with that sling, and they can, anytime, they can make the target. Anytime, because they are prepared for that. So David picked a really good stones. These stones represent our life. When the Word of God going through us, and when the Holy Spirit going through us, our God make us in good condition, so we can be used in His hand for something good, so we can hit the target. So David was really very precise when he went to that battle. He picked these stones, he put it in his bag, and he continued to the battlefield. The last one. David fought Goliath with one biggest goal. His goal was not just to kill Goliath. His goal was to make his nation free. His goal was to make the nation of Israel free from any captivity, from any demonic powers. His goal was to destroy the fear that control the whole army of Israel. Remember that when you battle and when you're going through the battle, is always encouraging to somebody else when you are victorious in the end. Your testimony is great to other people because through you God is glorified. And David, he just knew that this man put cursing over the nation of Israel, and he went with the opposite spirit, and he say, now today I will kill you, and all the world will know that there is a God in Israel, and I will make my nation free. And that's what he do, what he proclaim, that's what happened. David killed Goliath in that very moment. He put the one of those stone, put it in the sling, he make the target, and the stone hit Goliath just right here in the middle of his head. He went to him, take his own sword, cut his head, and bring the head back to Saul. And he say, now my nation is free. And when we battle and when we go through those kind of battles, we make our people to be free. I was so encouraged this morning about the worship, because we are only 50 people in that room, but for God we mean a lot, because we make this region free. Free with our proclaim, with our worship, with our words. We just proclaim that there is a freedom in this place, and freedom is our inheritance. Yeah. Yeah. On the end, yeah. I want to show you something. The kids asked me in the beginning, Lubo, why are those two balloons in your hands? And I say, I will make one trick or experiment, so everyone can see. That's fine. Those balloons, his name is Goliath. Goliath. I call him Goliath. Goliath is very big. He looks great. He looks big. He looks very intimidating. But he is empty. Inside he is filled with air. Sometimes the problems are very big, but they are empty. They just scream to us so they can put fear over us. And then when the fire came, Goliath's gone. But David, he's very small. He is not even tall like Saul. He is a young boy. But he knows the Lord of Israel. And also he knows how to trust God. And he is filled with the Word of God. I fill this balloon with water. If you do this experiment at home, don't do it with gasoline. It's work only with water. I tried so many times before. And David, he was a small guy, small person, but he was filled with God inside. Which is what you feel inside is more valuable how you look outside. I remember Smith Wigglesworth say, they ask him many times how you feel. He say, I never feel, Smith Wigglesworth, how you feel. I know that I feel good because God is with me, and inside I'm 1,000 times more bigger than outside. So when you are filled with the Word of God, that makes you strong enough so you can be a victorious person and more than a conqueror. Then the fire came. Nothing happened. Because the water that is in you absorbed the heat outside. The water in you is the Word of God. Absorbed the battle outside. When you trust the Lord, God is with you always. You don't need to be worried because God give you a strength to you. And he will going with you through the all circumstances. Because you still have power inside in you. You just trust in God, believe in God, trust in His Word, repeat His Word, proclaim His Word. And not only the fire cannot stop you, but on the end, you quit the benches. In Jesus' name. So let's be a victorious people in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thanks.